Amen. Our scripture reading is coming from Exodus chapter 3. Amen. Can you stand as we read God's word? Amen. Standing is just basically giving respect to the word of God. Amen. Because God is speaking. God is talking to us, so you're just basically giving respect to the word of God. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm going to read a few verses here. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Amen. For the reading of God's word, unto all generations, that includes us. Amen. In that generation. Amen. What I want to speak to you today on this morning is basically what's in a name. We hear that God says, I am who I am. And we want to know what's in the name. Names are more than just a way of finding someone in the phone book. A person or an organization name comes to symbolize the kind of character that the person or the organization possesses. When you were picking your name for your children, you would not give them certain names that will remind you of someone in your past. You were careful to give them certain names. For example, I never ran into a girl named Jezebel. Amen. I never ran into a guy named Judas. So that lets you know names are important. Because you don't hear nobody with those names. So I believe the reason for that is because the actions of Jezebel and the action of Judas jacked the name up so bad that nobody wants to name their child Jezebel or Judas. Amen. So our names say a lot about us. And we grow our names. And when we grow our names, becomes a part of our identity. Many denominational names don't point towards glorifying the Father or the Son. They either describe a distinctive practice or that of that denomination, or they are names which point to a human teacher they admire. All right. Amen. For example, does anybody know why the Methodists are called Methodists? When they got started, they had a distinct method. That's why they were called Methodists. Amen. See, folks just go and they don't know what they're going for. They got a distinct method of the way that they do things. So my question is, what is in the name? It is better to have a good name than great riches. Proverbs 22:1. Companies are about their names because their entire reputation is wrapped up in this name. And I have to build this up and build this case so you can understand what I'm getting to. It's why God had to say, I am who I am. So I'm getting to that, but I have to get to this in order for you to get an understanding of what I'm going. Did you know that companies have quality control managers? Companies want to do everything to maintain a quality product with every customer to keep a good name, a good reputation. Their success or failure is built on name reputation. It's like y'all know how when you go to the a restaurant and you eat, you order your food and you eat half of it and you send it back and say, this ain't good. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it that way. They didn't fix it right. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You eat half your food and then you send it back up there and say they ain't fix it right, but you ate enough where you didn't get your full. And now all of a sudden you want a little discount. In other words, you know that this company is going to stand by their name because they want to have a good reputation. So guess what they do? Even though the food was good, but they're going to please you anyhow to make things right. So they give you a little discount or maybe even give you a free meal the next time you come. So you would tell others about them. It's in the name. Protect your name. So what a name signifies. Isaiah 42 and 8. God said, I am the Lord. That is my name. I would not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. God is letting them know what his name is. Reputation goes along with the name. Mary is a great example of someone who had a good name and loving favor from heaven. She was chosen by God to be Jesus' earthly mother, so she must have had a great reputation to have been chosen for an important calling, but her reputation would not have been so if Joseph had not have spoke up and protected her from people trying to stone her. Her reputation would not have been good if he hadn't dealt with the situation. Before Apostle Paul was saved, he had a bad reputation and name. God is a God who changed his name to Paul, but his name was Saul. So he had a bad reputation. He persecuted Christians and he had them put to death. And the disciples feared this man named Saul. So when God converted him and told Ananias to go to Saul and pray that his sight would be restored, Ananias responded and said, Lord, hold up. I have heard about this man, how much evil he has done to the saints at Jerusalem, and you telling me to go to this man? Reputation. The Lord said, go thy way, for he is chosen unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles, the king and the children of Israel. God forgave Paul, and then he used him in a great way to spread the gospel throughout the world. You may have a bad reputation now, but when you give your heart to the Lord, he will give you a fresh start. So it may take a while for people to recognize the change in you, but you need to separate from the world and live the holy life that God is asking you to live, because your reputation of being Christ-like will eventually precede you like it did with Paul. All right. Y'all know that? Your reputation precedes you. I tell people when they come on the job, I had a coworker, former coworker now, but she used the name, she didn't go by, would say, her government name. What's on her birth certificate? She used a nickname, and her nickname was in line with my name. And I've been with the company for a long time. I said, hey, hold up now. I said, don't come here acting a fool. Y'all don't think I'm playing with y'all when I said this. I went up to her. I said, don't come in here acting a fool. I said, because you're using the name Ronnie. I said, because my name is good in this company. Now don't come in here clowning. I wasn't playing with her. Why? Because I was trying to protect my name. I had a good reputation. My name preceded me. And when and folks, here's the mix-up. I had people sending emails to me that should have gone to her because all they heard was send it to Ronnie. Without using the last name. So therefore, I was getting her emails. That's why I told her, don't come on here playing. Oh, I wish the Lord could play that back for y'all. Because I would too. I wasn't playing with her. Name. Name. Jesus had the ultimate reputation. And even God himself stated that this is my beloved son whom in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. See, when I read that, I said, can the Lord say the same thing about you? This is my child in whom I am well pleased. See, we know that Jesus had a reputation that preceded him as he traveled from town to town because the Bible says Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. So the word about the great works Jesus had performed has spread far and abroad, far and wide, and many wanted to receive from him. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees were jealous of Jesus. They wanted to tarnish his reputation. Folks get mad at you if you got a good reputation. So they got to find something on you, something about you. So they just can't just allow you to have this good reputation. So they got to find something on you, even if they got to go back to when you were in grade school. They're going to find something on you that you did. Because they just can't believe that somebody's got this good reputation. All right. But knowing the names of God would help us trust him with our daily affairs and with our eternal destination, in that the scripture tells us about God's character. It tells us about who we are serving. It lets us know that the God that we can believe and trust in. A God that names, and when God names something, he can make that identity be that person. All right. Amen? Amen? It's nothing like when we give somebody a name, it's not the same. But when God gives you a name, he has the ability to make the name be your identity. Right. Just like when Adam names his wife Eve because she is the mother of all the living. God changes Abraham's name to Abraham to show that he made him the father of many nations. God changed his wife's name to Sarah. God changed Jacob's name to Israel. When God changes your name, trust me, God is doing something with your character. He's doing something with the identity that he has for you. See, in America, the meaning of the name Jeremiah is exalted of the Lord. I try to find, you know, just didn't want to just name the child. You know, folks just naming their children anything now. You half the time can't even spell the name. I was talking to a lady, and she was filling out an application and putting a kid's name down, and this lady had the nerve to say to me, how you spell my child's name? I looked at her. How you spell? You don't know how to spell your child name? Just naming children anything. Just don't, I mean, they can't even spell it. Lord help them. Can't even spell a child's name. But when you just can't just name the child. You name the child in hoping that they will become something. The name Sabrina means beautiful young girl who can care about many things but can be very distractful and may argue until she gets her way. or wise listener who knows many things inside her mind. Sabrina means someone who can't go through hell with a smile on her face just to show the enemy it ain't over. Sabrina means princess. Y'all follow me? You don't just give a child a name. You give them a name hoping that identifies their character. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't know my daughter by now, that identifies her character. She'll look at you and you'll think that you got her. Oh, she getting you. Trust me. 3. That's her age. We need to give our children names that will give their destinies and their character. Give them names to grow into and strive and pray for. There is a big difference when God names people. When I name someone, I don't have the power or the authority to make that person fit the name. I give names in hope and prayer that my son and daughter will become their name, what their name implies. That's all I can do. God has the right and power to cause anyone he names to become what the name implies. So the name God gives are sure identicators of the destiny of those he names. And when God names himself, the name is packed with who he is and what he intends to do. He chooses names for the sake of revealing things about himself that would deepen our love in him and enlarge our admiration and strengthen our faith in him. Our names say a lot about us, but God's name says a lot about him. God has just commanded Moses to go to Egypt and to bring his people, Israel, out of captivity. Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said, "Say this to the people of Israel: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel: The Lord, Yahweh, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." God gives 3 answers to this question. What shall I tell them your name is? Verse 14, God says, "I am who I am." And then he also says, "I am has sent me to you." Then he says in 15, "Yahweh has sent me to you. This is my name." I think it would be safe to say that God's purpose in this meeting with Moses is to reveal, as he's never had before, the meaning of his personal name. The key is in this phrase is "I am," and especially in the phrase "I am who I am." So here is where we ought to spend a lot of time meditating. What does it mean when you ask your God, "Who are you?" and he answers, "I am who I am"? What God is basically saying is it means that I'm a God that changes not. The way you see me today is the way you're going to see me tomorrow. The way you're going to see me the next time you come to me. God is basically saying, I'm not somebody that's going to be wishy-washy. I'm not somebody that's going to change because the situation has now changed. God is saying, I'm still the same regardless of what you're looking at or regardless of what you're going through. God is saying, I'm not changing. God is not determined by any forces outside of himself. Then he is not subject to the changes that we are. People change their mind because of unforeseen circumstances or weak resolution. God foresees all circumstances and has no weakness. So nothing in all creation takes him off guard and backs him into a corner where he might have to act out of character or compromise his integrity. He is who he is. And therefore, and James says, with him there is no variation or shadow due to change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He is absolutely who he is. So when God says, I am who I am, nobody's opinion of him makes any difference of what you say about him. Therefore, our calling as his creatures is to strive to know for him, for who he is. All right. Not for who we would like for him to be. Folks will tell you what they would like for you to be for them. All right. But God is not in that type of business. He's telling you who he is. So we must conform to God, not God conforming to us. If children should learn their manners from their parents and not the parents from the children, if players should learn their moves from the coach and not the coach from the players, if soldiers should learn their strategy from the general and not the general from the soldiers, then surely it is plain that creatures should conform all their lives and the will to Christ, the Creator. Jesus. It is a name that is handpicked by the Father. The name Jesus was not given to our Lord by Mary and Joseph. Y'all want to know why? Y'all want to know why Mary and Joseph didn't name their child? You don't sit around and say, well, what are we going to name the baby? What name are we going to give him? The reason why they didn't name their child is because they don't have the authority over their child. This was not just any child that was going to be born. This was the Lord. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So they couldn't name, because anything that you name, you have authority over. So God already had a name picked out for him. And God said, I got a name for him, because you can't name him because you don't have the authority over him. See, I have the authority over my children because I gave them the name. But see, Mary and Joseph, they couldn't name them because they didn't have the authority over him. So God said, I got the authority, so I'm going to give you the name that you're going to call him. His name shall be Emmanuel. Handpicked by God. So what is in the name? Let me tell you, Peter and John went to church, and they went to the temple where they encountered a lame man begging for alms. Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Well, guess what happened? He not only stood up and walked, he went to church with them, and when he got in there, the scripture says he was walking and leaping and praising God. Sounds like this man was healed to me in the church. To make a long story short, the man, so he's healed. So Peter and John had something to do. They thought Peter and John had something to do with it, but Peter wants not to get credit for something that he has nothing to do with. He put credit for what credit is due. So let me tell you something that doesn't happen in the name of Muhammad. It doesn't happen in the name of Mormon prophet. It doesn't happen in the name of Buddha or any other religious figure born, but it happens only when you say the name Jesus. What's in the name? You can't get that in any other name or any other religion. The only thing that you can get out of that is a headache. But when you use the name of Jesus, things got to change. Nothing stays the same. People don't be the same anymore. People don't look the same anymore. They don't act the same anymore. Why? Because the name, Jesus. That's why they said there is power in the name. So when Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why are you surprised? Why do you stare at us? If by our own power of godliness we had made this man to walk, The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of your fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed. And you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. So we are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong, it is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you call, as you all can see. Peter didn't take credit for this. He basically saying to him, the Jesus that you all crucified, the one that you let hang on the cross, allowed to die for not doing what you accused him of doing. This is the name that has touched this man and healed this man. It is not us. We're just vessels. Do you know why that there is no other name? Because there is no other name. It's that simple. In no other name is there salvation and life. In no other name is there healing and restoration. In no other name is there comfort, reconciliation, hope, forgiveness, strength, peace, protection, truth, and about. There's no other name that you can get this in. His name is enough. We don't need the name of anybody else. We got the name that we need. So what is in the name? Peter and John, they were disciples. But before they were disciples, they were fishermen. So what is in this name? What is in the name of Jesus is amazement. Amazing. You have to understand this. Think about this for a moment. Let's go down memory lane here for a moment. Peter and John, before they became disciples, remember, they were fishermen. They had never been to Bible college or seminary. But you know what? They were preaching and teaching like they had been there before. Like they took some semesters at a Bible college. But they never enrolled in the Bible college. Not that what I read. When you look at it, they were in school though. They were in training with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They had the on-job training, and many of you know that that's the best kind of training that anybody can get. I think another thing that amazed everybody was that these former fishermen could even hold an audience with people. Have you ever talked to a bunch of fishermen? All they want to do is talk about fishing and what they caught. Talk about the type of fish, their boat. They want to talk about the places where they've been and things like that. But these guys were different. Normally, you hear fishermen talk about the one that got away. Peter and John weren't talking about the one that got away. When you hear these guys preach, I doubt if very many ever got away from them. The main thing the people saw was that they had been with Jesus. Can anybody say that you've been with Jesus when they encounter a conversation with you? Right. Folks, you know, I'm going to say this, you know, I got to say this because we just came out of this. We are not gathered here this morning in the name of Bush, Clinton, Trump, Obama, or Carradine. We did not assemble together this morning in the name of a political party, whether Democrat or Republican. We are gathered this morning in the name of Jesus. Let me say this. I got to say this, and I hope that it's being recorded. When election season come around, we get these empty promises. The arguments that erupts on social media, the politicians that quote scripture from their own gain and own agenda, playing on the people's emotions, it rubs me the wrong way. Now hear me on this. I don't
I don't think voting is bad. I don't think doing your research to make an informed decision is bad. It's a good thing that you do that. But as a follower of Christ, the election would have no ultimate or lasting impact on me. As a Christian, my hope is not found in the next president. In case y'all didn't know, I'm preaching right now. It's not found in the next president. It's not found in the next law or any other government that can do. My hope is in Christ Jesus. It disturbs me to see people put so much hope in the next president, because I know that they will ultimately let you down. But in the next 4 years, we're going to have this same conversation about what this president gonna do for us, or what the last president didn't do for us. We're gonna have the same conversation in another 4 years. The problem with this country is not money. It's not equality. It's not race. It's not immigration or even abortion. The problem with this country is a heart condition. That's the problem. The rest of the stuff is only just symptoms. Our heart and sins are the real problem that we're dealing with. Folks can talk about all other kind of stuff that's on the agenda, but baby, if you don't get this heart right, all that stuff ain't gonna matter. This country has a heart condition. And let me tell you this, I don't care what party you believe in. No politician, no law, no government can ever fix that heart. There's only one person that can fix the heart. So it's not wrong to desire change for the country. It's not wrong to vote for the person you feel best for our country. However, I believe we are putting too much hope in social change and not enough hope in Jesus Christ. Real change, life change, comes through Jesus Christ, not through the president, not through the elected officials. It don't come through them. All they're going to do is give you another headache, another problem, until the next election comes. Don't miss this. The president would never change the followers of Jesus Christ's mission. Our role on this earth stays the same. That's why we serve a God that changes not. So no matter who's in office, no matter who's running for president, or who's running for secretary, or who's running for trash delivery, it don't matter. God's agenda doesn't change. Now, what I will say, how we live might change. Consequences for following Jesus could stack up. But at the end of the day, Jesus has the power to make an impactful change on our lives. Nobody else can do that for you. So stop crying that the sky is falling. I'm not crying that the sky is falling. Is your pastor crying? Let me tell you something. When you see me running, you start running. But if you see me making my stand, you make your stand. What you got me up here for? Just to talk? I'm here to make a stand for Christ. So stop crying that the sky is falling. God is still on the throne. Last I checked, I was just on the conference call with him before I came out here. He gave me this message to insert. Hey! So I'm saying to you, could this country go down the drain? Maybe, I don't know. But I know that God's kingdom will remain the same. But here's what I want you to do while we're dealing with this situation, though. Pray for your current leader. Yes, that includes even if you don't like them. Pray for your leader. Don't slander those that you disagree with. Just love on them. But what I want you to do, the last thing I want you to do, is keep your hope in Jesus Christ. Politics will never save the world. That's what Jesus did on the cross. So I don't understand why all of this this rioting and all this stuff is going on. It ain't gonna change nothing. What's gonna change is if the heart gets right. Jesus even said in his words that let your heart not be troubled. The leading cause of death in America, in this world, is a heart condition, because people's heart is not right. Let me tell you something. If you get your heart right, if you get your mind right, if you get your agenda right, if you get your situation right, if you believe in Jesus, put your hope on him, you won't have this rioting going on. You won't have this issue with who's in office. Why? Because those people that's out there riding, they don't know who holds their future. But see, the reason why I ain't out there, because I know who holds my future. Y'all don't see me chunking a rock. Y'all don't see me throwing a bottle. Y'all don't see me busting doors and setting stuff on fire. No, the only thing I'm going to set on fire is this church. The only thing I'm going to set on fire is a fire underneath you. So what I'm saying is that we are gathered here this morning in the name of Jesus. If you came in with any other name on your mind, I'm going to tell you something. That's not what was on the agenda. What's on the agenda this morning? The name of Jesus. That's who we come to worship. That's why we come together on Sunday mornings. It's to get away from our busy schedules and to get away from the things that we are doing in this world and to come together as one. Underneath one name. One God, one faith, one baptism. So we serve a God. Let me say, that's why I said, what's in the name? So God revealed himself, you know, and there's a lot of names that we can go by, but God said he is El Shaddai, the strong one. So in other words, when you are empty, God is enough. He can fill you up when you're empty. But guess what? The only way you can get empty, you got to be pouring yourself out. You got to be praising God, because when you get empty, the Lord will fill you up. So he goes by another name, and it's called Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh is more than just a catchy words to a song that the praise team sing. It is God who provides. He provided for Daniel when he was in the lion's den. He provided for Abraham when he was getting ready to sacrifice his son. He provided for Jacob when he had 12 sons. He provided for the Hebrews when they were in the fiery furnace. He provided for me when I didn't have a wife. When I didn't have any children, when I didn't have a job, he provided for me. So when I say Jehovah Jireh, it has meaning for me, because it hits home, because it lets me know that God is the provider. And then he goes by another name. It is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. He has another name, Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He has so many names. So many names that we can call on. This is why I said, what's in the name? If you serve the God I am, I am who I am. He is saying that everything that you need is in I am, is in my name. All you got to do is call on my name, regardless of what time of day it is, regardless of what evening it may be. God is saying you can call on my name. Serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. God who can do all things. Nothing hidden from him. Nothing is going to make him change his presentation. Woo! Nothing's going to make him change his script. Nothing is going to make him do anything different than he's already done. God is saying, what I've done is good enough. But he said this. He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, he said, I will heal this land. See, we got to call on his name. And let me tell you something. If you don't call on him, how can you expect for them to help you? He's a deliverer. He's a way maker. We serve a God of another chance. Some folks serve God of a second chance. I don't serve that one. I serve a God of another chance. Because I didn't burn my second chance. You understand? I didn't burn my second chance a long time ago. That's why I said I don't serve a God of a second chance. Because that second chance is burnt up, man. So I got another chance to get it right. Y'all better believe me when I say that. So be careful when people say I serve a God of a second chance. Well, you done. That's what you look at him and say, you done. Tell him, say, you need to serve the God that I serve. He's a God of another chance. And then another chance. And then he'll give you another one. And then another one. Amen.